Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. As I already said, I had Hebrews ready to go. I thought about Isaac and the wherewithal of faith, but I'm not going to go there tonight because I had this on my heart for the last couple of days. And then the title that I'd like to preach on tonight is just this simple thought, but a deep thought is... what will be said at your funeral? What will be said at your funeral? And I don't know. I know that death is not something that we like to talk about. I think in my own life, I don't know, here 7 or 8 years ago, my grandmother, she was getting frail and falling all the time and in bad health, and she wanted to make me her power of attorney, and At first, I didn't really want to do it, but I didn't think she would trust anybody else to do it, so I said I would. And so we sat down, and we started talking about things, about paying her bills and this and that, and she was fine to talk about anything, but then when I started talking about funeral arrangements, she said, no, I don't want to talk about it. And I understand that death is not something that we all like to talk about, but it's something that we've got to prepare for. It's something that's coming for all of us. As one preacher said, he said, I want to go to heaven when I die, but I hope they're not getting up a load today. There's some things that all of us want to do down here, and people that we want to see grow up, things that we want to do, but. Our death is something that we need to think about. We talked this morning. Somebody said something. Pray for this family that a 20-year-old had died. Death is no respecter. I mean, there's no age limit. There, you go to the grave. There's young babies, and then there's elders, and there's everything in between. And so, it's an uncomfortable thought. But we must prepare for it. If the Lord tarries, we're all going to die. Right. If He tarries, I don't want to think about it, but I'm going to die, and you're going to die. The Lord says in Hebrews 9:27, it says this. It says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so it's going to come to all of us, whether we want to or not. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says this. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says this: the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The very last one is death. So death, I don't like thinking about it, but it's something that we've all got to think about. And just understand this, that when your eyes close in death, the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done with Christ. That's the only thing that's going to matter. It's not going to matter about how much money you got in your checking account. It ain't going to matter about how many people know your name. It's only going to matter of what you've done with Christ. There's going to be no turning back. There's going to be no second chances. In fact, in 2 Samuel 14:14, it says this. It says, for we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. And just like you're not going to get it back together. Once you're gone, you're gone. Ecclesiastes says this in Ecclesiastes 11:3. It says this, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. There's no second chances. When the tree falls, there it's going to lie. And so death, what will be said at your funeral? Now, in today's day and age, a lot of people don't think about that because I've been to services before where the preacher didn't even know who was being who had died, but yet they'd get up there and they'd preach them right into heaven just like they's the best Christian they'd ever seen, and they didn't even hardly know about them. And so when I say what's going to be said at your funeral, I'm talking about what's going to be said by people that know you, that people have been around you all your life, the people that know you best. What's going to be said at your funeral? And in our text, what I read here for you is a eulogy. It's David, the king, talking about one of his men at his funeral. And so just to give you the backstory about what's happened here. Now, Abner, the one that he's talking about, his funeral here, Abner was the captain of Saul's army. And after Saul's death in 1 Samuel 31, Abner just got the idea that he wanted to make Saul's son, Ishbosheth, I think was his name, and over the area of Gilead, Abner said, "I'm going to make him king in Saul's stead." And so that you had David, a king over this area, and then you had the Ishbosheth, and David's men ran by Joab. He was the captain, and then you've got Ishbosheth run by Abner. Those people ended up having a battle. It was a big battle. And the Bible said that David's men overran all of Ishbosheth's men. And Abner, the captain of the army, he took off a running. And there was a man by the name of Zeruiah, I think was his name. He had three boys. He had a boy named Joab, and he had one named Abishai, and he had one that was named Azahel. And the one named Azahel, the Bible said that he could run like a deer. I mean, that's pretty quick. I want him in the Olympics. He was fast. But Azahel is the one that took off after Abner. He said, I'm going to catch him. I'm going to kill him. Now, Abner, being slick, being sly, who he was, he looked back and he saw Azahel coming after him. And he said, Azahel, turn to your right hand, turn to your left. Basically, what he was saying was, quit chasing me.
That's right.
Don't just leave me alone. Y'all have won. Leave me alone. Azahel wasn't going to quit. He kept on doing it. And Abner told him again, turn to your left hand or to your right hand. And Azahel wouldn't do it. And I don't know if he ended up getting right up on him or what ended up happening, but it said that Abner ended up going like this, and the spear ended up going through Azahel under the fifth rib, and it killed him. And it killed him. Now, just like in the Old Testament, like we talked about, there was an avenger of blood.
Right.
Now, Joab and Abishai, that was their younger brother. So they hated Abner. They knew Abner had done it, and they hated Abner. Now what ended up happening was Abner ends up fleeing, and after a couple of years, after a series of events, Abner, he wants out. He don't want to be with Ishbosheth no more. He wants to come over, and he wants to make a league with David. And he goes over and he makes a league with David and makes peace with him. And Joab finds out about it. And he said, David, did you talk to Abner? And you let him leave in peace? And the whole time, don't you know that 2 years, Joab's just fuming. He's like, I want to kill Abner. He killed my younger brother. I want to get him. And so basically that whole time there, that's what's going on. But Joab finds out that Abner has come and meet with David. So what Joab does is he sends messengers to Abner again. And he said, this is on behalf of David. Now, David didn't know nothing about it. And so Abner ends up coming up to the gate of Hebron where David was. And Abner ends up killing him right there outside the gate. And so David finds out about it, and David has this funeral here, and here's where we see David. He said some parting words to him. In verse number 33 here, he said, "And the king, David, lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth?" Now that's a rhetorical question, meaning that the answer is obvious. The answer is yes. The answer is Abner died as a fool. Now, that's a king talking at somebody's funeral, telling him that this man died as a fool.
Yeah.
That was what was said at Abner's funeral, that he died as a fool. And so I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, what's going to be said at our, what's going to be said at our funeral, at my funeral? What's going to be said at my funeral? And so I got to thinking about, well, why would David say this about one of about a man that he had made a league with, a man that he trusted? Why would he say this about him? So I've got three simple points tonight. What would be said at your funeral? David told this man, you died as a fool. Why would he say that? Well, first of all, I want to look at, he died even though the sanctuary was near. The sanctuary was near. He was close. Yet he died as a fool. Secondly, I want to look at not only his sanctuary was near, but his safety was neglected. He took it for granted. Yeah. Neglected. And then lastly, I want to look at that Abner, his slaying, it was needless. Yeah. It didn't have to happen.
That's right.
Those three things. And that's why David said, Abner, you died as a fool. I want to look at sanctuary was near, his safety was neglected, and his slaying was needless. So the first thing I want to look at is the sanctuary was near. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 27, it says this, right before all this funeral here, it says, "And when Abner was returned to Hebron." Now remember, Joab, he called for Abner because he knew that Abner and David had talked. So he said, go send for Abner and tell him it's in David's name. And so here Joab's coming to meet, Abner's coming to meet with David. And right outside Hebron, Joab kills him. And it goes on to say in verse number 27, Joab took him aside in the gate.
Yes.
Right at the gate of the city. He was right there.
Yes.
Still at the very end, he didn't make it. He didn't make it all the way. Now the sanctuary, Hebron, was one of the cities of refuge.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
Now the city of refuge, you know how it is. The city of refuge was a safe place for somebody where the avenger of blood couldn't get to them. And basically, you went and pleaded your case before the assembly there. And if they believed you, they would keep you there and they'd keep you safe. And so I don't know how that worked because they were in a battle and Abner killed him on purpose. And so I don't know. But it was a place of safety. It was a sanctuary. If he just would have got inside the city, he would have been okay.
Yeah.
But he was right there. He was at the gate. And he ends up dying. He was at the gate. He would have been okay if he would have made it because there was the king, the sovereign, was at the sanctuary.
Yeah.
The king was inside. How do you know that? Well, 2 Samuel 2:11 says this. It says, David, it says, "And the time that David was king in Hebron." Now that's where Abner was coming. He was coming to meet David. David was inside the city. He would have had protection had he got inside the city. He was so close, but he didn't make it. He was right there at it. Where the king is, there is sanctuary and safety. He was close, but he was not close enough. I think I preached about it before, but in Mark chapter number 12, verse number 34, there's a bunch of scribes that came to him, wanted to know what the greatest commandment was, and Jesus spoke to them and talked to them, and this one man spoke up and kept asking him questions. And in verse number 34, it says, "And when Jesus saw that the scribe answered discreetly, he said unto him," Jesus said unto this man, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Now, if you ain't far, you still ain't in.
That's right.
But he was close, and it might have been like this, but he was close. But Jesus said, "Thou art not far."
Right.
Abner wasn't far. He was right there at the gate.
Yeah.
But he still didn't get in. David said, "Abner, you died as a fool."
Right.
You didn't get in. I think about Acts 26, 28. I think about another man named Agrippa. Paul was talking to him. And there in chapter 26, verse number 28, it says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me." Now, almost is pretty close. But it's not enough. I used to have a math teacher that used to say, close enough only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. It ain't good anywhere else. Close is not good enough.
Yeah.
Abner was close. The sanctuary was right there. But he didn't make it. Some might say Well, I believe the Lord, and that ought to be good enough. Well, James 2:19 says this. It says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But it goes on to say, the devils also believe and tremble. They believe and they shake. It's not good enough. It's not close enough. You must have that work of Spirit, that the work of the Holy Spirit, the conviction that we talked about this morning. Not just believe, not just trust. You got to have it all. It's got to be complete. You got to be complete. And so he was close. I think about one man that was probably closer than any of them. A man named Judas.
Yes, sir.
He was with Jesus for 3+ years. Hey, he preached. He did wonderful works. He had the same power that all the rest of them did. I even heard one preacher said he kissed the door of heaven, but he went to hell. That's pretty close. But when it got down to where the rubber meets the road, he betrayed Jesus. And he took that money and he went out and he betrayed him. And then he come back and he threw it back at their feet. And they took that money and they bought the potter's field where they buried the strangers. He was close. He was with him all that time. But close ain't close. It ain't good enough. It ain't good enough. The sanctuary was near. Abner's sanctuary was near. He was right at the gate. Yet he died. He didn't make it in. He didn't make it. David said, Abner, you died as a fool. Sanctuary was near. He didn't make it. Okay. Not only was the sanctuary near, but Abner's safety was neglected. Now that word neglected means that you take for granted. And Abner, he took his safety for granted. He took the goodness for granted. He took it all for granted. He neglected it. Deuteronomy 32:29, it says this. It says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. He just neglected it. Careless. He didn't consider the latter end. Peter said it this way in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:9, he says it this way. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off.
Right.
You're not taking the long look.
Right.
You're just living for today. That might have been what Abner was doing. He just woke up in a new world every morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't take the long look. He didn't consider the latter end. Abner didn't take the long look. And you say, well why? Well, first of all, he didn't take the long look because, first of all, he was distracted. He was distracted. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 27, it says, and as they came to him there, 3:27, it says, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate. He was right there at the gate, but he got distracted. He let Joab take him aside. He should have just said, no, I've got a message for the king. I've got to go meet with the king. I don't have time for you right now, Joab. But he got distracted. He looked over and Joab took him aside. Distractions. What are some distractions? Well, distractions is anything that we put before God. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself as well. We've all got distractions. All of us do. Take your eyes off the Lord. Anything is the distraction. Now Abner was distracted and he died. I think about in the book of Matthew when Jesus talked about the parable of the soils there in Matthew chapter number 13. He says this in chapter 13, verse number 7. He says this, talking about the seed. He says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it out, the seed. Now he goes on and he gives the meaning of it in verse number 22. He says, "He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful."
That's right.
The deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, those are some distractions. And like I said, we all have them. We all have them. Lord, help us with those. But there's also distractions. Even while you're coming to Him, there's distractions. I thought about in Luke chapter number 9 there when Jesus was talking to the. Let's see. Did I write that down? Luke 9, chapter number 40. Yeah, it says, "And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." And it says that. What in the world? I wrote that down wrong or something. But anyway, what it was it was the one where the man came and brought his boy to Jesus. And anyway, it says that when Jesus bid him to come, it said while he was a-coming,
yes.
While he was a-coming, it said that the Spirit threw him down. While he was on his way to Jesus, mm-hmm. The Spirit threw him
That's
down.
Right. That's right.
Just because you're headed to Jesus and you're headed the right way, don't think that it's all going to be, what do they say, stars and rainbows or whatever they, I don't remember what the saying is now. I had it on the, hunky dory, bed of roses, all of that. That's it. That's what I was thinking of right there. Thank you, Commissioner. It's sunshine and lollipop. That's what it was all about. Just because you're going that way don't mean it's all going to be good.
That's right.
Even while you're coming. That boy was a-coming. And it said the evil spirit threw him down while he was a-coming.
Right.
And so the enemy will fight to the bitter end. Now, as Brother Tim used to preach that message, the devil's not going to let you go easy. He ain't going to let you go easy. He's going to fight you to the bitter end.
That's right.
And that's what happened to Abner. He fought him even at the very, very end, right when he was nigh to the gate. He got distracted at the very end. Not only was he distracted, but we also see that he was deceived.
Yeah.
He was deceived. At 2 Samuel 3:27, the very end of that verse there, it says, "And Abner was returned to Hebron, and Joab took him aside in the gate to speak to him quietly." It's almost like Joab had a real nice spirit to him and said, "Hey, come here, buddy. I want to talk to you for a minute. Just me and you, buddies and pals."
Yeah, look out.
Then when he got him over there, right under the fifth rib.
Yeah.
And that's what happens today. The world is not our friend. The world's system is not our friend. They might act like that we're all buddies and pals and we're all headed for the same place. And until you buck a trend or till you do something and you don't go along with all this LGBTB stuff, and then they'll try to cut you then.
That's right.
But as long as you're not going cross grain, they'll love you. They'll speak well of you. But that's what happened is Joab said, "Hey, Abner, come here." He was deceived. Now it's Abner's fault. Abner should have known that Joab wanted him dead. He should have known that after he killed his brother Azahel, that he wanted to kill him. He should have known that, but he didn't. And that might have been why David said, "You died as a fool. You should have known better." Yet Joab talked nice to him and deceived him. The devil's the exact same way. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. 1 Peter 5, 8 says this. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant." That means watch out.
That's it.
You better take your blinders off and watch out. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, that don't sound like a friend to me. If I wouldn't... I consider y'all my friends. I wouldn't eat none of you. But the devil says he seeks who he may devour.
Yeah.
That's who he is. John 8:44, Jesus said this to him. He said, he told these people, he said, "You are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him." None whatsoever. That's who he is. I thought about John Bunyan when he wrote that book called Pilgrim's Progress. One of the enemies, he called him Apollyon. I think that was the name, Apollyon. And that word, John the Beloved used that also in Revelation. That word Apollyon there means the destroyer. That's who he is. He's not your friend. The end game is to take you as far as he can take you so that you won't get in.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care if Abner got up to the gate as long as Abner didn't get in. That's all he cared about. It didn't matter if he killed him at the very beginning or if he killed him at the gate. He still killed him.
That's right.
And that's all he cares about. He wants to take as many with him to hell as he can.
Right.
And so... The devil and his system, they don't care about you. He just cares whatever it takes to keep you from Jesus because he knows the value of a soul.
Right.
He knows the value of a soul. And so that ought to cause you there when he says, be sober, be vigilant. Protect that thing. Protect yourself. Protect your soul.
Yeah.
Like you would if you've got a treasure at home, what do? You protect it. You put it in a safe. You lock it up. We ought to do the same thing.
Yes,
we ought to guard ourselves, guard our soul.
Yeah,
so the devil don't steal it.
That's right.
He don't care. All he wants to do is destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
Abner, he was distracted and he was deceived. And that's why there in Matthew, the Lord said this in Matthew 7:13-14, he said, "Enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. And then he says in Luke, he says this, in Luke 13:24, he says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in." So there's few that even find it. And then there's few that at the gate even get to enter in. Now, why is that? Well, because distractions, deception, just like Abner.
Yeah.
And it may be something that just, it don't have to be something that and it just scares you to death. It could be something that he'll just slip in. And it's there and you don't even know it until it rears its ugly head. He's sly, he's slick. And so David said to Abner, "You died as a fool. You died as a fool, Abner. The sanctuary was near. You neglected your safety." But also, lastly, he said this. He said, "Your slaying was needless."
Yeah. Yeah.
Abner, you died as a fool.
Yeah.
Abner, this didn't have to happen. It didn't have to. In 2 Samuel 3, verse number 34, it says this. It says, he's talking about Abner after he said, "You died as a fool." He said, "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou."
Yes.
He said, "Abner, this didn't have to happen." It didn't have to. And it's the same way with us. Just to spiritualize it, It don't have to happen to us either.
That's it.
And I don't know. Maybe there's something that the Lord put His finger on.
That's it.
And maybe that's where the delay is at. Maybe you hadn't fully obeyed. Maybe I don't know. But it doesn't have to happen.
Right.
Abner's slaying was needless. I don't know what it is. It might be tithing. It might be attendance. It might be separation. It might be you fill in the blank.
That's it.
It might be you can have that pony.
That's good.
I don't know what it is. But I can tell you it ain't the Lord. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He said there in 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish. Man, that ain't just talking about the elect. That's talking about anybody. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yep.
David said, Abner, you died as a fool. It didn't have to be this way, Abner. It didn't have to be this way. Job, he said this in Job 14, verse number 10. Job said, "But man dieth, and he wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he?" Where is he? Now, Abner died as a fool. And that's the question that we've got to ask ourselves is, as Brother Charles would say, if you're not saved, what are you doing about it? Now, works aren't gonna save you, and I believe you know that. But just like Abner, he had some distractions in front of him. He had distractions. He was deceived. He had all kinds of things he had to deal with, and he'd have been better off if he just would have kept on and just put his blinders on and just went straight ahead.
Right.
But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He let Joab pull him aside. He was distracted and he was deceived and he ended up dying. And David said, "Abner, you died as a fool. Abner, it didn't have to be this way." And I thought about what's going to be said at my funeral. I think about Paul. One of the last things Paul wrote there in 2 Timothy, he's writing to Timothy there, and he said this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And then Paul said this, "Henceforth, because of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paul could say, I fought a good fight. I've done everything that he asked me to do. Was I perfect? No. But I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. And he fought that way. David wouldn't have said the same thing to Paul that he did to Abner. David said, "Abner, you died as a fool. It didn't have to be that way." Now, I guess the question is what's going to be said at your funeral? I don't know. I've been thinking about that for the last couple of days. What's going to be said? And I'm not talking about, like I said, one of these preachers that's just going to say, "Oh, everything is good. He was a good man. He come to church and he tithed and he said yes ma'am and no ma'am and so he's going to heaven." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that really knows you. They say, "Oh, he used to be this way, but then one day there was a change. And the Lord come to the Lord. There was a work of the Holy Spirit. The conviction was worked in him, and he was regenerated. And from that point forward, he was a totally different person."
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Leave a testimony behind.
That's right.
Leave something for your family to where there ain't no shadow of a doubt what happened. But Abner, David said, "Abner, you died as a fool. Abner, you were so close. But you didn't get in. You neglected your safety. You got distracted. You got deceived."
Yep.
And then he said, "Your slaying was needless. Abner, it didn't have to happen this way. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward.
That's right.
Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I don't know about you, but by the grace of God, my prayer is to have it said of me as it was in the parable about the talents when he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done."
Yeah.
Now, it didn't say anything about his popularity. It didn't say anything about the thousands of people that was at the church. It didn't say, it just said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And all you have to do is just be faithful. And he's given everybody different gifts.
That's right.
I can't be you.
That's right.
And you can't be me.
That's right.
But we'll be faithful with what he's given us.
Amen.
And at the end of the road, by the grace of God, may he say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the glory of the Lord." Or whatever. That's what you need. But leave something behind for your family. Leave something behind for your legacy.
Yes.
Not material wise. I'm talking about spiritual wise. Something that your family can look back on one of these days and say, "Oh, my great great granddad. I still remember the testimony of him. He was this way, but all of a sudden the work of the Spirit worked in his life, and he was saved. He was regenerated. He got new. He got regened, and from that point forward, he was a different man."
That's
right. What'll be said at your funeral? We don't like thinking about it. I don't like thinking about it. But for the last couple of days, that's all I've been thinking about is what's going to be said at my funeral. I don't know when it's going to be. It don't go by age. It don't go by sickness. It could just be all of a sudden like that. There's no rhyme or reason. We're all in the Lord's hands. But I just felt like that. I've been thinking about it. I couldn't get it off my heart about what's going to be said at your funeral. What will be said at your funeral? Abner, you died as a fool. It didn't have to be this way, Abner. What will be said at your funeral? Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, I understand, Lord, that that's not something that we like to think about. But, Lord, it just seemed like the last couple of days, Lord, it's been ringing in my heart and ringing in my head about what will be said at your funeral. And, Lord, I be personal about it. Lord, it's something that we all need to think about. And Lord, I pray, like I said, by the grace of God, I want to be one of those that at the end of the road, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't know. I want to be obedient. I want to do whatever you'd have me to do. I don't want to be like Abner. Abner died as a fool, David said, and he got distracted. He got deceived, and it didn't have to happen that way, Lord, but it did. Lord, he was so close. He was right there at the gate. And Lord, there may be some that's closer than we think. Lord, I don't know. You know. But Lord, help them not to get distracted. Help them not to get deceived. Help them not to get pulled aside. Help them to put the blinders on and just keep their eyes on Jesus. But Lord, that's what we need. So Lord, I just pray that you'll help us keep this thought on my heart. Lord, like I said, just help us to think about it. What will be said at your funeral? And Lord, just go with us now throughout the remainder of the week. I pray that you'll be with all these requests that were made, spoken and unspoken. And Lord, I don't know what the answers to those are. I don't know what's right, what's wrong. But Lord, you do. And so Lord, I'm just going to give them over to you and say, Lord, answer according to your will and your way and your timing. So Lord, just help us now. I pray that you'll be with us this week. Be with me as I prepare for Wednesday, Lord willing, if it be your will. And so, Lord, I need you. I need you to help me prepare. And so, Lord, just help me. And I'll help me to be sensitive. Help me to not have my own will, not do what I want to do, but Lord, what you want to do. And so, Lord, I'll do my best to be obedient. And so, Lord, just help us now through the week. Lead, guide, and direct. Help us this week as we go to work. Help us to be sensitive, Lord. May you speak to somebody, Lord, while they're working, while they're driving, while they're under the car changing the oil, whatever it is, Lord, you can speak. But Lord, help us to be sensitive. So Lord, just go with us now. Help us, Lord, this week, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.